Good morning, and welcome again to the Divine Service here at Zion Lutheran for the fourth Sunday of Easter. We will open our worship with the singing of our hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, April 30th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 770, Beautiful Savior, hymn number 770 found in the Lutheran service book. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for all of their blessings.
We rise. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated for the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 709, The King of Love My Shepherd Is, hymn number 709 in the Lutheran Service Book.
A reading from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when mindful of God one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, it is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Reading from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that sleep. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The sermon text for this morning from 1 Peter, the second chapter. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his footsteps. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this text from St. Peter for us today is what we would maybe call an ethical text. Okay, it's ethical in nature. In other words, it's showing us how we should live our lives out in this world that we have been born into. And how does Peter do this? Well, Peter does this by leading us right into the heart of the gospel. He leads us right into the work that Jesus has done for us, the paying for our sins upon the cross. And what is very important for us to remember is that Peter points to Jesus as the one who paid for our sins. He does hold Jesus up for us and as an example in our suffering, right? An example for us to follow. But at the exact same time, he reminds us that our suffering is in no way, shape, or form earning points with God for us, right? So in this way, there is a clear difference between Christ's work on our behalf and our work in response to what Christ has done for us. Theologians say that Christ's work is expiatory. That is, it atones for and makes amends for all of our sins. In addition to this quality, the Messiah's work on our behalf is an example that you and I have so that we can follow it in our own lives. As with all righteous Christian living, our works of enduring in suffering and our good works to our neighbor flow out of what Christ has done for us. It flows out of our having been forgiven through what Jesus has done on our behalf by the work of the Christ. We are made good trees through Christ's work, and good trees bear good fruit. Good fruit doesn't make a good tree, just as our works don't merit salvation. Jesus, our Savior, enables us to follow his example by taking up our sins for us, by bearing our sins on the cross, and by placing us into a new life. What then does Peter see as laudable about what Jesus has done? Well, first we see that Jesus is completely sinless. We know that. And we see that Jesus had a complete and total lack of a thirst for vengeance. He didn't revile other people. He didn't breathe out threats to other people while he was suffering. As Savior, he is the innocent, patient, suffering Christ. And why did he do this? He did this to rid us of our sins and to give us a new life in which we might live for righteousness. What Christ did was suffered on our behalf, was heaped upon him by our sins, and these are the sins he died for. He took the curse of our own sins in his body, and by his sacrificial death on the cross, paid the price for our sins. He did all of this to pay for the curse of the fall. God the Father permitted his Son, the Messiah, to suffer as a criminal between two criminals. Jesus was cursed. Jesus became sin. He became that which causes death and damnation so that we might become what God wills: righteousness. That's what Jesus died for, that we might be righteous. Christ has completely freed us from the guilt and power of sin. And freed from the guilt and the power of sin, now we can do his will. Is it difficult? Of course it is. Are we going to fail? Yes, we are going to fail. And yet we keep working at it. The Christian calling and the Christian character is reflective of Christ's vicarious atonement for us. And a Christian simply cannot suffer correctly until they are thoroughly convinced that Christ has suffered in their place. In Christ, then, we also have an example of endurance in suffering. And it's an example that we can strive to emulate. It's not really the life of Christ in general that we have, that we can use as an example, right? It's always one of those things that disturbed me. I never did particularly care for that phrase, "What would Jesus do?" You know, if people were hungry, he would feed 5,000 of them with bread and fish. We can't do that. We are not God incarnate. We are not God in the flesh, right? But there are certain things that we can take as an example, like Jesus' patience, how patient he was with people who sinned against him, and how patient he was with people who hated his guts. And we can use that as an example of saying, okay, I can be patient with the people who don't like me. I can be patient with the people who have sinned against me. So we can follow Jesus' example when it comes to patience, right? He undeservedly suffered. There are times in our lives when we undeservedly suffer. And we are called and converted people as the body of Christ here on earth. And yet nowhere can I find in the scripture where it says we are called to a bed of roses. Nowhere that we are called to an easy life or called to have things go smoothly every moment of our days. No. We need to look to Christ to see how to respond to things that come up in our lives. And Peter here explains this to us in two different ways. And the first way he uses is the words that he's using. Do you remember learning how to write? You know, I don't know what, when you learn to print, you learn cursive, whether you had the Palmer method or Danielian or whatever the case may be. All that, and all you who are grade school teachers here have remembered learning to teach kids to write, but how many of you remember getting that the big fat lines with the dotted line in the middle, that worksheet there, and it has your letters on it, and what's the first thing you do? The teacher gives that to you, and you trace it, A. You do a whole row of A's. Then you do a whole row of little A's. Right? And then after you kind of master that, then I think if I've got my memory correctly, you have the next lessons or so down the road comes the dotted lines, and you trace those. And then comes the gaps, and then you trace the gaps, go over, and oh, well, there's a missing part. Oh, well, I know how that goes this way. Okay. Then pretty soon comes the page where you don't trace anymore. You copy and you follow along with the letter next to it. And so on and so it goes until you learn your letters, what they look like when you write, and how to hook these letters together to make words. And maybe you had tracing paper too. You had something where you put on top of the sheet and you traced over the words. It just all depends on what school you went to. And that's the picture that Peter is giving. Like, trace Jesus' example over and over and over and over again. You know? And we're going to have lots of opportunities in our lives to trace Jesus' example over and over and over again. Right. In this way, we learn to follow Christ. And Peter also uses the words, follow in the footsteps. And you've probably all seen this too. And we have the blessing of living in a place where there's snow. And we've probably all seen, you know, you take those adult steps in the snow. And we've all seen a little kid trying to step in those same footsteps behind their mom or their dad because the snow's already mashed down. And they're a little unsteady on the feet because it's a longer stride than they have. but they're following in their parents' footsteps. That's the visual image that Peter is writing down for us. Trace over what Jesus has done. Follow in Jesus' footsteps. In this way, we learn to live a more Christ-like life. And it won't be completed this side of heaven. We will have to bear with each other in love and patience and kindness and grace. And we're all going to fall in that, and we're all going to falter. We all have to live in forgiveness, in peace, the best we can with one another, right? So the child is following where the parent walked. In here is the servants, that's you and I, walking where the master walked. Tracing after what the master has done. Or, as Peter says, the sheep following where the shepherd walks. So what does this mean for us? It means you and I too will have an opportunity at some point in time in our lives to walk in the path of unjust suffering and to do it patiently. Now this goes against the very grain of a human being, our fallen nature, right? What do we want? We want power, we want strength, we want authority, we want the upper hand. We do not like feeling as if we've been knuckled under by somebody else. And yet we do have the call to suffer for being Christians. And that's a very important point. Suffer for being Christians and do it patiently. And while we're suffering for being a Christian and while we're doing it patiently, we are to consciously make the decision to do good to other people, even the person who's persecuting you. Peter says, when Jesus was reviled, he didn't lash back. When Jesus was reviled, he didn't reply by threatening. Jesus was mocked, he was abused, he was spit upon. And in all of this, Jesus did not shade the truth to favor or get out of trouble or avoid suffering. He didn't spin things to make himself look a little better. Now think for a moment of Jesus' enemies, Jesus' slanderers, the lies and the bodily threats from which Jesus sought no evasion. He endured all of it. Jesus did not resort to trickery or evasion, but continued to speak the truth. And with the truth alone did Jesus confront his slanderers. Think about what Jesus went through. Pilate, knowing that he was innocent, had him beaten and scourged. And remember when he sent him over to Herod? What was Herod's response to Jesus? Herod's response to Jesus was something on the order of, "Dance, monkey, dance," to which Jesus would not dance to Herod's tune. People around the cross were heaping insults upon him. He trusted in God. Yeah, he sure did. He trusted in God so much that he sought no revenge, but left everything in God's hands, the God who judges justly. So when we too are maligned for being Christian, our Christian morals, our Christian stands, our Christian life, we are to cling to scriptural truth. We are to be silent and not seek revenge. We are to work hard at doing good to those who slander and berate us and hurt us for being followers of Christ. And we are to leave all things in God's hands. And this has to be a conscious decision on the Christian's part. Peter reminds us, going back to the beginning of the text, what good is it to endure suffering if you're enduring your suffering for doing the wrong thing? And I thought about that. Well, what have we all been through? What have we probably all shared in common? And I thought, yes. So, Say you're in junior high school or high school and you're feeling your oats. And so you decide to backtalk your parents, mouth off to them, right? And it depends how you catch your parents on that particular day. You might get a backhand across the face. Somebody might reach around into the back seat. You might get spanked depending on your age. And depending on your age, you might get grounded. But then you go to school and you tell your friends at school how tough you are because you stood up to your parents. And they spanked you and they grounded you. But I don't care. They're jerks anyway. I would say the vast majority of us have been there. Things of that style or imagery have come out of our mouths, and we have all gotten in trouble in such a way. And Peter says, you didn't do good. That's not good in the sight of God. You get a spanking. And really, he's referring to slaves. He keeps referring back to slaves. He may be writing to just people who are slaves, in fact. And Peter really is saying, you know, you mouth off to the master, you don't do your job, and you get beaten for it. Or he mocks you for being a Christian and smacks you around because he can for being a Christian. What good is that if you lip off to him and get in trouble? Okay. It's not good in the sight of God. It's not good in the sight of anybody. But think about this. If you're in that same young age range, okay. And what if you get mocked or teased for leaving your friends and going home at the time your parents said to go home? Mom and Dad said to be home by 10. Mom and Dad said to be home right after the basketball game is over. Mom and Dad said to be home at this time, and your friends are putting a lot of pressure on you to just kind of ignore that, and you'll get home when you get home, or go to Steak and Shake first, and then you can go back home after that. But what if you leave and go home on time because your parents said so? And yeah, you're going to get laughed at and made fun of a little bit by your friends, but you leave their attitude and their opinion in the hands of God. Peter says, that pleases God. You are obeying the fourth commandment. You are honoring your father and your mother. And you took it on the chin for honoring your father and your mother. God says, that is a good and gracious thing. And he says that through St. Peter. Peter tells us that if you suffer for doing good, that is commendable to God. Perhaps at school for children, at work for adults, and in the home, for most of us, be we an adult or a child, we are tempted to spin the truth to escape punishment, to put ourselves in the best light. In that case, we are to consider Christ who was without sin, Christ who was without deception. We are to bear up under antagonism. Consciously, we are to do good. And we are to do those things which are pleasing to God. Even if they please nobody else, and nobody else notices, except for we and our own conscience, that is a good thing in the sight of God. Because remember, it's not the suffering itself, but the patient enduring in undeserved suffering. Peter commends and encourages the Christian who doesn't want to violate his conscience and willingly bears up under unjust suffering. So what do we walk away with from church today? Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus Christ suffered unjust punishment. We too are to endure unjust suffering, expressly when it's associated with persecution for our faith. Only by the grace of God and through our faith in Christ can we endure injustice, which results from that which is right, or doing that which is right. And on top of that, intentionally and purposefully doing good to those who dislike us or those who persecute us. In adversity, we are to endure. We are to stand up, and without complaint and feeling of vengeance, we are to continue to place our trust in God and follow in the footsteps of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now all rise as we sing together the Te Deum Laudamus. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, your Son, our Savior, gave us an example of patient endurance in unjust suffering. Grant that we, as students of Christ, follow our teacher's example and patiently endure any tribulation that comes our way, for holding fast to your word and for our Christian faith. Not only do we ask for patient endurance, but also for a conscious ability to do good unto our enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Shepherd of Israel, you have clothed us in your righteousness and taught us to love all that is good and beautiful and true. Therefore, we ask you to bless all artists and artisans, composers, musicians, craftsmen, and writers, that they may use their skills to your glory and in the service of the gospel, testifying to your saving death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus, your words are our healing, and your voice is our certainty. Hear our prayers for those who are sick and who seek healing. We pray for Alan and Carolyn Martin's son, Ryan, who will tomorrow morning undergo brain surgery. Grant skill to his surgeons and skill and patience to all those who assist the surgeon so that Ryan may experience the best possible outcome of his surgery. We ask also for continued recovery for Marty and Holly as they recuperate from their respective surgeries. And grant your grace to all those who cry out to you for relief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, after your Son's resurrection, your people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of the bread, and to prayers. Unite our people here at Zion Lincoln in the one true faith, granting us both penitent and forgiving hearts, along with unity in doctrine, and enduring trust in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
All these things and whatsoever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We now continue with the singing of the Kyrie.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
The closing hymn is number 711, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, hymn number 711 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Mrs. Meyer, did you want to say something about the cleaning this evening? This afternoon, not this evening, this afternoon.
Yes, and also about the bake sale.
Okay, there's a microphone here if you want to. Let me see if I can get that turned on for you. If I stall and talk loud enough, Bill will have it ready to go.
Thank you. This afternoon, 3:30, is our indoor-outdoor spring cleaning here at the church and at the school. You can go straight to the school. You can come here. You can come part of the time, the whole time. Whatever you can give us would be greatly appreciated. I hope the sun keeps shining. Rain can stay away until we're done. And then when it's all over, come back. If you're at the school, come back here. Around 5:30, quarter till 6, we'll have a meal of pizza, salad, desserts, and drinks. So we hope to have a great turnout and get a lot done. Switching over to last week when we had our bake sale and our special coffee hour. Thank all of you very much for all that you did. Many people gave of their time, their talents, and their treasures in a huge, huge successful way that we've never had before. We had 3 packed tables of food out there. Every single item was gone. We've never had that before. We've always had leftovers. That somebody finds a way to eat it, but we've never sold it all. We have never surpassed $1,000. This year it was $1,350, which was a great success. Thank you for showing the love of your church through supporting this event. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. Some of the follow-up after this Sunday's voters' meeting. Oh, Sam, did you have an announcement?
So, Senator Sally Turner, we have invited us to participate with her Mother's Day diaper drive, and she is looking for diapers, size newborn and four, wipes, baby wash, lotion, and there's a few other items, but we only have 1 week to get those. She needs by next Monday, so next Sunday's the last day for that. Unfortunately, I didn't know about this until later, but and she will deliver, her office will deliver those to the Lincoln Pregnancy Resource Center the week of Mother's Day. So if you're interested in donating, you can bring them next week, or if you're coming to the work day, you can bring them this afternoon.
Okay, that's diapers, size?
Newborn and four. I think she'll take other sizes, but she's looking for those specifically.
Newborn through four.
Yep.
Okay, and then baby wipes and other lotions. Okay. All right, thank you, Sam. Some of the results of the voters' meeting, those of you there might help me out with this. We voted to approve the repairs on the flat roof, so that will be now that we can tell the roofing company yes, we've approved that, then we get into their schedule. So we have no date for when the repair work is going to be started, but it will be on the schedule for the roofing company. Also, Dr. Perry will be beginning his tenure with us May 8th. Is that correct? May 8th, he'll be starting. School board is meeting tomorrow evening to put together some guidance on what we'd like him to do, which is, I think, mostly observe, learn, watch how things are going. Our staff's doing a fantastic job. They have the end of the year. I mean, if you look at the back of this, they have the end of the year well in hand. I don't know if they feel well in hand, but I think they've got it well in hand. And we don't, you know, watch and observe. I think that's going to be the result. And then get ready to get started in June/July for Dr. Perry. We also approved the new constitution for the congregation. There are a few wording issues that the district said, well, we'd like you to change this word to that word. So we went ahead, and that was approved. So we do have an updated constitution for the congregation. Those were the very large pieces of business that was accomplished at the voters' meeting, along with some other things. So let's see. I think that is all that we have. I did have an appointment with a physician middle of this week. For all of you who saw me limping around on Good Friday and Monday, Thursday, and all of that, it Seems the physician is convinced it was a viral infection that was causing my body to attack its own joints while it also attacked the virus. So hopefully one and done, no more occurrences. So we'll wait and see on that and how that goes. But in the meantime, the Lord bless all of you. The Lord bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.